Let's open with hymn number 605. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies, and from them that persecute me. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Never let me be ashamed. Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we most heartily thank thee that by thy word thou hast brought us out of the darkness of papacy into the light of thy grace. We beseech thee mercifully help us to walk in that light. Guard us from all error and false doctrine, and grant that we may not, as the Jews, become ungrateful and despise and persecute thy word, but receive it with all our heart, govern our lives according to it, and put all our trust in thy grace through the merit of thy dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end.
Amen.
The Old Testament lesson for this 23rd Sunday after Trinity is found in the 14th chapter of Job, the 1st through the 5th verse. Man who is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. And do you open your eyes on such a one and bring me judgment with yourself? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No one, since his days are determined. The number of his months is with you. You have appointed his limit so that he cannot pass. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 4th chapter of 1 Thessalonians, verses 13 through 18. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Christ died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Here ends the epistle lesson. Thine enemies roar in the midst of thy congregations. They set up their ensigns for signs. Remember thy congregation which thou hast purchased of old, the rod of thine inheritance which thou hast redeemed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Hallelujah. The Holy Gospel is found in the 24th chapter of Matthew, the 15th through the 28th verse.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been seen since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or, look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Here ends the Gospel.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We confess our faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ,
the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn 444.
Thank you.
Grace be unto you, and peace in God our Father, and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is found in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, the 32nd through the 39th verse. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with suffering, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in Jesus Christ, the year of the church is drawing to a close, and as the end of the year draws near, as is our custom, we turn our hearts toward the end of all things, especially to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know what the scriptures say, that we say it every time when we confess the creed. He is coming to judge the living and the dead. The end of the Bible in the book of Revelation speaks of the end of the world, and tells us that Jesus is coming quickly to bring an end to this age of the world, to cast death and sin into the lake of fire, to make all things new, a glorious creation, new heavens, a new earth, in which righteousness dwells forever. There is such great gain and glory to come, but at the same time, there is such long and often tiresome waiting. Jesus comes quickly, and yet he seems to tarry. And so when we think of the coming of Jesus, we are really of two minds at the same time, a mind of joyful expectation and a mind that is weary, that sees the days turn into years and decades. Even as Jesus promises so many riches in heaven, the earth is filled with death. In the midst of earthly life, we are in death. Death and dread and joy and life are simultaneously our lot. That is what it means when we say, now but not yet. Now we have the present certainty of the forgiveness of sins and the hope of eternal life, but that life is not yet ours. We wait it still, and until it comes, we must endure much. The Jews in Rome, to whom the author of the Hebrews, of the Epistle to the Hebrews writes, endured much indeed. They lived through the persecution of Nero, and they watched their Gentile brethren be tormented and tortured. They understood what it meant to have life in the midst of death. When the Romans turned on the Christians, you see, their target was not the Jewish Christians. For there were a large number of Jews in Rome who were converted by the preaching of Paul long after the Gentile church was established. So many of them, in fact, that there were enough to convert several of their synagogues into Christian congregations where these Jews then continued to worship. The Gentiles were the older converts in the faith. The Jews in Rome were the new Christians. But as far as the Romans were concerned, they were still Jews. They had not been in Rome, and they had been in Rome for a long time, and the Romans were quite accustomed to the Jews having their religion and being set apart. Because of the politics of Rome, it was not the Jews who met the lions and became torches for Nero, but the Gentiles. Any Roman who worshipped Christ was considered to be a traitor to his own people, to the emperor, and to their gods. Yet these Jewish congregations were not separate from the Gentile Christians. They had fellowship and love for one another. And therefore, when their brethren were tormented, put to death, even turned into human torches, the Jews in Rome could not stand by and do nothing. They visited them. They gave them the comfort of the gospel. They helped them in any way that they were able. And of course, this was noticed. And for doing so, the Romans turned on the Jewish Christians, and their houses were raided and their property was confiscated. They suffered great loss for the sake of Christ. For in doing good, they were persecuted, and yet they were not killed. The Jewish Christians lived in part because of their race. They were Jews by birth. In those days, the Jews would have had no place in government or in the armies, and therefore they could not be infiltrators or traitors. They were no threat to the emperor. And so God used this to preserve their lives, and now many years have passed. The world continued to turn, and now a great temptation presented itself to them. So many Gentile Christians had died. Jesus had not yet returned. Since it was by being Jews that they survived, what profit was there in the end in the Christian faith? Christians were slaughtered. The Jews persevered. Why not just backslide and go back to being just Jews? I'm sure you can understand how they felt, because you have felt it too. Today we might call it burnout. Faith just does not seem to have any real joy or benefit any longer. And the promises of God in Christ no longer seem so real as once perhaps they did to us. What can you do? The popular religious advice of the day would tell you to rededicate yourself to Jesus, to stop moping around and start praising, and eventually you will feel joy again. In other words, you should pick yourself up by your own bootstraps and work yourself into that spiritual feeling that you used to have. But this is very, very bad advice. It's like telling a meth addict that he just needs another hit of meth and he will feel better. Because in truth, he's only delaying the inevitable and he will just crash all the harder. For you were not saved by praise. The source of true spiritual joy does not come from having spiritual joy. It comes from the knowledge that even in the depths of your sin, even in your loneliness, your pain, your weariness, you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and a God that hears your prayers through his Son, even the prayers of distress and toil. The real need of your soul does not change. It is not different today than it was when you first believed or when you last experienced the joy of salvation. And therefore, it is good and right to think back to your former days when you were illuminated. That means when you first received the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ and were converted and saved. When you endured the struggle against your own nature. When you first experienced the devil's fury at your newfound righteousness, and yet Christ was sufficient for you to conquer every foe. In those days, it was not anything in you that gave you joy, nor any work that you could perform, or song that you could sing. Your peace and hope came to you as a gift from God. He watered you with his Holy Spirit in baptism. He pronounced his word of absolution upon you, and he fed you with his body and blood. And in all these things, he gave you his righteousness. And you did nothing but receive it by faith. And so even though you were not rich in the things of this life, you looked for a better and an enduring possession for yourself in heaven. What has changed today? Is God any less gracious? Is Jesus any less your Savior? Are his promises any less certain now than they were when you first believed? No, the only thing that has changed is that more time has passed between then and now, and Jesus has not yet returned. And indeed, as he seems to tarry, the world has only grown worse, more openly unrighteous, more hostile to the Christian faith. And Jesus tells us that it will be so. When the disciples asked him to tell them of the time of the end and how the days should be, Jesus gave them what we call the Olivet Discourse, A few verses before our gospel lesson, he said that many will be offended. They will betray one another. They will hate one another. And then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And so we see that salvation surely does await us at the end, just as Jesus has promised. For God has not changed. His promises are sure. It is we who have changed. It is we who grow weary. It is we who are prone to forget his sure word and promise. In Corinthians 9, verse 24 and following, Paul uses the analogy of a runner in the race to describe our time in this world. The runners run for a crown which perishes. In those days, literally, a wreath of olive twigs, which literally dried up and died shortly after they were awarded. But we run for an incorruptible crown of eternal life. So run, he says, that you may obtain. For no one who abandons the race partway through, who gives up because he is tired, will ever win the prize. As Jesus said, we must endure until the end so that we shall be saved. How then shall we endure? It's easy to say, but it seems so hard in practice. Endurance is an interesting word. It means the same in the Greek as it does in English. We think of it as a strong word. The stronger person endures while the weaker person fails. But that's really not what the word means at all. Endurance means to hold out in the face of difficulty and bear what must be borne. Our text says, you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And so this endurance is not some special strength that we have above other men. It simply means that despite it all, we do not abandon God's promises. We endure, he says, by doing the will of God. What does that mean to do the will of God? How does that make us endure? Would God burden us with more things to do when we are already weary? Not at all. The will of God is described in the very next verses using the prophet Habakkuk. He who is coming will not tarry. Therefore the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. The promise given to us in this prophecy is that our Lord Jesus will not abandon us. He does not tarry, though he seems to tarry. Yet he comes at his appointed time. And in the meantime, we do his will, which is simply to live by faith. This is what Jesus told the people in John 6. This is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This is the will of God that we are to do, to believe on Jesus Christ. And in that way, we will be justified and live and not die. To live by faith means to believe that even though the world seems to be falling apart, or that you are weary, or your life seems meaningless, that God has kept his promise in his Son Jesus Christ. That despite your feelings, he has atoned for your sins. That he has washed you from your iniquity, even when you feel dirty. That you are his and he is yours, even though you cannot see him with your eyes. This belief is that faith. And because of this faith, you shall endure. And you shall live on the last day. All that you need to endure is to continue to stand in the forgiveness of sins by which you were first illuminated. There is no other way to do this than to continue in his word, to hear it, to receive his absolution, to take his body and blood. For that is where he first gave his goodness to you, that is where he gives it to you today, and that is where he has promised that you will find it until the end of the world. And then the time of toil will pass. You will find rest for your souls. For you are not of those who draw back and abandon the faith only to perish forever in hell. You are those who believe unto the saving of your soul, because God has been faithful to you. May God therefore grant you such endurance in his word and promise. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. O Almighty God and Heavenly Father, holy and righteous art thou. Thy mercy is from everlasting to everlasting, and thy truth endures throughout all generations. Hear the voice of our supplication, O Lord. We thank thee for all thy mercies which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ, thy Son, who took upon himself the form of a servant and humbled himself unto the death of the cross, that we might receive the remission of our sins, the assurance of everlasting life, and the certainty of the resurrection of our bodies on the last day. In this faith, O Lord, take from us the sting of sorrow and the victory of the grave. In this blessed hope in the risen Christ, help us to conquer all fear of death, and to live in the confidence that because he lives, we shall also live and bear the image of the heavenly. Comfort by thy grace and truth all who are bereaved, and wipe all tears from their eyes. Deliver us from the tribulations of this world, its false Christs and false prophets, its heresies and divisions, its wars and oppressions, its bloodshed and pain. Grant that as the days which thou hast appointed us are few and troubled, we may apply our hearts unto thy wisdom and ever abide under the shadow of thy love and power. Therefore prosper thy church, dear God, and keep her to work diligently while it is day, before the night comes. Keep thy church pure from sin and all false doctrine, that she may be spotless when her Lord shall return. Stretch forth thine hand over the nations of the earth. Rebuke the vain and proud. Comfort the oppressed. Bless the obedient, that all may know that thou only art God. Preserve our nation from corruption, that we come not under thy judgment. Breathe thy spirit upon our land, that civil righteousness and peace may prevail, and all may attend to their duties in every fruitful occupation. We entreat thee to look in mercy upon all the sick and any who are stricken in mind, body, or spirit. Manifest thy presence unto them and heal them according to thy love and their need. Forgive us our sins for Jesus' sake, and give us that peace which passes all understanding, the joy which no man can take from us, and the hope which does not fade away. In the name which is above every name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We sing hymn 466. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
O God the Father, fount and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness didst send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn 48. Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen.